My name is Carla Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 18th of July 2009 and it is 6:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you come from?
My name is Michael Mooney. My date of birth is 12th of the 3rd, 1964 and I come from Glasgow.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
Strangely nervous. I mean, I haven't been nervous at all about it until an hour or two ago, and now I am.
How did you first hear about the project?
I think it was probably from the Guardian Arts blog, and I clicked on through from that to the project, and it must have been 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe, no, potentially even longer than that, and it sounded very interesting.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
Mostly, I suppose, to be part of an artwork. I must admit, when I first heard of it, I didn't realise there'd be this degree of attention. And what I imagined was that I'd pull something like 3 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, there'd be no one there, and I'd be able to stand up in the plinth and just think deep thoughts and look out into the distance. I didn't realise that there was going to be such attention on it, and that I was going to be 7 o'clock on a Saturday night in Trafalgar Square. So, yeah, that's something to get used to.
How do you feel about your spot now?
I feel fine about it. There's quite a few of my friends have come. Some of them have come down from, my girlfriend came down from Scotland with me for it. Friends I don't normally get to meet up with are going to be here tonight, and a lot of folk are going to be watching it online. So in a way, it feels pretty nice to be able to communicate with them. I've got no idea what communication from anyone else is going to be like, one way or the other. And I've deliberately not brought along a microphone so that I don't just keep talking for an hour, which I would do otherwise, because I'll do that when I'm nervous anyway. And we'll see how that goes as well. But yeah, looking forward to it.
What happened when you found out you had a place?
I think initially I was kind of incredulous about it. I thought, no, it can't be. And then I was sort of quietly satisfied, and I thought, yeah, as I say, this will work out. It'll be something that's very low profile, and it'll give me an excuse to come down and visit London, which is always good. And then when I realised that the date I was on was also the date of my girlfriend's birthday, and it was going to be a big thing. So I've also got some friends who would normally be in London aren't here. I've got friends over in, one over in Canada tonight, one up in Inverness, who's kindly loaned us his flat for the weekend. So they'll miss out on it, but overall I did feel good about it. I think I probably only spent the first hour or so thinking of what it meant in kind of an artistic level and part of it, but I've been following the blogs and following the interaction about it ever since, and yeah, it's a good feeling.
Does it have a meaning to you on an artistic level?
It does, and I think part of that's been lost for me because of the amount of publicity around about it. My initial thoughts really were that it would be very much about being on display, and that in a very passive sort of way, and that you would be the focus of other people's attention, and it would be up to them to decide, you know, what that meant. The fact that I was standing on a plinth, was it art, was it not art, why were they there? On an artistic level, I looked forward in that way to being part of the work instead of the work itself. And I don't know whether Anthony himself has been surprised by the reaction and how it's gone forward, but it has changed my perspective on what's happening. Initially, I was going to just go and stand for an hour and off into the distance, and as I say, you know, think deep and meaningful thoughts. Now I'll probably do at least a bit of chat. We'll have a few toasts, and I think a large part of it for me is about communication. And it's about that two-way thing, how people interact with something they see as art. And I think it's very unusual to have something being seen as art to react back to you. I think I put somewhere in my profile that the Mona Lisa's not known to turn cartwheels. So that should be interesting.
So can you tell us exactly what you will be doing for the hour?
No, because I don't know. I think I've tried to put a little bit of structure about it because, as I say, initially I was going to go up and chat to anyone who wanted to chat and think deep thoughts, but I want to have some sort of feel of how far through I am and how far still to go and know that I'm going to be doing something else. So I've brought along and hidden inside my sporran flask of whiskey, and I will give 4 toasts to everyone who's around there. The first one after I go up to thank people who are there, and that'll be an old Scottish one that goes along the lines of who's like us, damn few. And here's to us, who's like us, damn few, and they're odd. At 5:15, I'll do a toast to Absent Friends, which I'm nicking wholesale from a guy called Neil Gaiman, who wrote a book called Season of Mists. And I'll get it wrong now, but I put it on my phone, so I'll get it right then. And it's on the lines of two old gods and lost lovers. And me, each and every one of us give the devil his due. It's a little bit longer than that, but I'll do that one about 5:15. At 5:30, it's my girlfriend's birthday, so I'm going to try and encourage as many folk as I can to sing along to Happy Birthday for her, and I'm sure some of them will. At quarter to, it'll probably be something from Burns or something from my family, just to say, you know, that kind of what this place... Actually, probably at 2:15, it'll be something about London and what London means to me and being here means, and then... just before I go off, I'll probably say something along the lines of that man to man the world o'er shall brothers be for all that, and we'd maybe do a little quote from the Burns poem, and by that time I think I'll be ready to come down. I'm also supposed to have the world's smallest kites, but unless they're in that bag there, my girlfriend still got them, so I'm going to have to check and see if I've got them. And I was going to have a go at flying them at some point.
What does coming down to London mean to you?
For this in particular, or for any other occasion? London's a funny place if you're from Glasgow. Glasgow, on one level, is a very, very confident place. It's got a very big belief in education and a belief in understanding the world. And I suppose the attitude towards the rest of the world is summed up by something my dad said to me, which is always remember that no one's better than you and you're better than no one, which encourages you not to be... made afraid by anyone else, but also not to never look down on anything. So on one level, it's a very confident, self-reliant sort of place, and it breeds the sort of people who are either self-educated or fairly confident. And on another level, I went to university in the early 80s, and I think I was just at the tail end of a phase where people would graduate and then move to London, and the most talented people, you know, from those particular generations would move down here to make their mark. And there was always that thought in the background, what are you going to do? Are you going to move to London when you graduate and come down and work in whatever field you wanted to? Are you going to stay in Scotland? And I'd say probably the early 80s was the cusp between, if you stay in Scotland, you're a failure because it's a small pond. And what it is now, which is, if you stay up there, you've got all the lifestyle things going for you, ability to get out. Plus, you've got a group of folk who actually want to be there and who are very talented and very expressive. And probably things like the City of Culture, the Garden Festival, all those things started to hit round about when I graduated. And I didn't come to London. Some of my friends did. I didn't come to London to work. And it wasn't until years later that I did end up working down here. And so visiting at first, when I first came down to London, when I was 17 or 18, in the back of a friend's car because he was going for an interview, moved down from Glasgow, and I did the tourist thing while he got interviewed. And it was this is what we see on the telly. And then it was visiting friends at university, and then it became, well, it's a common thing. And then, as I say, I worked down here for about almost a year, and I made lots of good friends. But at the same time, I'm glad to be back when I'm back in Glasgow, because it's home. And it feels very good in that way. So coming down here, I'd like to say that there's none of that, the Scottish cringe of, oh, we're in the big city now, what are we going to do, we're inferior. I'd like to say there's none of that at all, but you walk through St Paul's, you walk past the House of Commons, and you think, yeah, that's the original, more or less. That's the model that we've taken away. And even though you know that most of it's been run by Scots anyway, you still think, you know, it's not mine. I don't think if I go to Holyrood or if I go through the impressive Victorian architecture in Glasgow, I do think that's mine. I think my family, my history is part of that and contributes to it. So coming down to London's always a mixed thing. I suppose for the last couple of years I've mostly come down to see friends that have not been working here, and that's always a good thing. And there's maybe a dozen folk, maybe 20 folk outside, and we'll end up going for out mealing for something to eat after this, and that's going to be fun. So, very positive about London. I do like it.
Are you here representing Scotland?
You're only seeing that because of the kilt, aren't you? Only to the extent that I'm representing myself, and that part of me is being Scottish. I don't feel... if I was representing Scotland, I'd probably have come down wearing the full formal kilt outfit, in the same way that, you know, if you're going to be English, you will dress up as a stereotypical English person, as it is. And in fact, this is an odd interview. I've got a t-shirt and a kilt and a pair of ulsters on. So I'm being casual about it because I'm quite comfortable in the kilt, but I'm not making a huge issue of it being just about being Scottish. I think it's more that it's part of me rather than I'm representing it.
What has inspired the four toasts that you're going to be doing?
Apart from a fear of having a whole hour stretching before me with no structure to it at all, I suppose the first one is to be thankful for the people that are there, and whether they're watching online or they've actually made the effort to be there, and to acknowledge that and to say thank you. The second one is for all the people I know who are not going to be here, and for various reasons. And you know, some of them are dead and some of them are gone, as the saying goes, and you know, I felt it important to acknowledge that. I'd be a little bit cheeky and use some Burns, because I always think that I can't remember who wrote the book on Burns this year, but he's someone who's got a great belief in humanity and the commonness of all people, and the fact that we're all connected together. And I feel in the heart of what was the empire, in the heart of what's, you know, what is the UK now, it's important to say that we are all part of the same thing, no matter where we happen to go to bed at night. And if I do sneak in a fourth one, that'll be to say thank you for everyone who's been there. So.
It sounds like you've got a lot of support. What do the people around you think about you getting up on the plinth?
I suppose it splits down. Family are slightly bemused, but supportive. You know, they don't understand why I'm doing it. They're glad I'm doing it. Friends who share the same sort of interests as I do are very into it. I mean, they've been, I suppose, participating in the Twitter feeds and streams and blogging about it, and there'll be lots of photographs taken, lots of Twittering done before I get back down. So I think they've taken it as a communications thing, and they're glad of it. People in work, again, slightly bemused. Most of them, it being Glasgow, aren't even aware this is happening. To them, it's a strange thing that's going on down in London. But I think they just accept that I'm a bit of a strange person anyway. So it's just one of those things I do, like, you know, go and see a play, or, you know, it's just what he's into.
Have you participated in arts events before?
Not in an active way like this is. I stayed in Newcastle for a long time, so I drove past the Angel of the North quite often, and I felt that I was part of it in that, because it's where it's placed, it's deliberately there to be seen from the A1 as you go up and down. Participate in theatre and the round and things like that, but it's always as part of the audience, never as never as the artist.
Are you a follower of Gormley?
I always make a point, if I get the chance, to see his stuff. I suppose I've seen the things he's done down in Birmingham in the city centre. I was lucky enough that he'd take one of his major pieces to Gateshead, to the Baltic, when it first opened, and that was fantastic to be able to walk in amongst all the reproductions he'd done, and of course with the Angel of the North. I didn't see his figures looking out to sea down at the Mersey, which I was upset about, but I'm very much aware of him as an artist and would make an effort to get out of my way to see him.
So what does it mean to you to be part of this project?
That's a very good question. I suppose to me it's just being a part of it. It's being the art and at the same time a participant in it. It's being watched and at the same time watching what people are doing, and it's almost like a behind the scenes sort of thing. If you're at a theatre, and instead of watching from the front seats or the boxes, you're actually standing in the wings. And you can see what goes on behind the scenes, like in this porter cabin. And you also can see how people react. You're not just looking at what's happening, you're looking at the people reacting to it. And that's going to mean quite a lot. That will probably change how I look at pieces of art, especially pieces of art like this, in future.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
I think it's very selfish. I think I'm doing it for me. I'm not representing anything beyond me. And yeah, that's it. It's part of what I want to do, and it's an experience that will touch a lot of people around about me and how they react to it. But fundamentally, it was because I wanted to do it.
And what do you hope will happen when you get on the plinth?
I don't know. I'm completely open to what happens up there. I mean, I think being me, there'll probably be some banter back and forth between me and the people on the ground. because there'll be people there that I know, and I'll make contact with them. It would be nice if that continued and other people joined in. But if it turned out that no one was paying any attention to what I was doing, I'd be perfectly happy to turn around and look down towards the Thames and just enjoy being there in the moment. So I've got no expectations of it, and I don't see any way that I can be disappointed in it.
Do you have any fears about going up?
I'm getting the sort of butterflies you get before public speaking, and which I didn't think I would, because I didn't feel any pressure on me to actually perform or be anything other just be me up there. But yeah, I'm a little bit nervous at the moment, but I'm not afraid of anything now.
We're trying to get a picture of the people who've applied to be part of the project. Mm-hmm. Would you mind telling us some of the things that are important to you in your life right now?
Probably no different from anyone else, in that family are very important, very central. And interestingly, I wish more of them would be here tonight, but it's mostly friends that are going to be here. I like to be present. I like to actually be aware of what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, what impact I'm having on other people, and not just to exist, to have a bit more of the examined life than the unexamined. So that's important to me. Fairness is very important to me. Coming down on the plane, we had someone complaining because he wouldn't be put to the front of the queue, and he was giving a bit of a hard time to the one person that was checking us in, and I ended up intervening, which I wouldn't normally in any other sort of social situation, because he was being unfair to someone who couldn't do anything about it. So that's quite important to me. And I think at this stage, being honest, and I think going up there and just being me is being honest, and something I'm looking forward to.
What kind of impact do you hope to have by going up on the plinth?
I don't think I'll personally have much of an impact at all. I think I'm part of something in it, and it's 2400 people long, and I'd like to think I'm part of a mosaic in that. I don't want to be a flashing light in that mosaic that we should distract from anything else that's going on. I hope my friends will have fun watching what's happening, and I hope it will give me kind of a perspective that I don't have at the moment, that I'll come down with a slightly different way of looking at things, because that's really all you can do is to build your own experiences. I don't see me changing anyone else.
Have you been following the project?
I have, not as much as I'd like to, because I can't see the live stream from work. I can't follow that. But I've been following through Twitter and through the Guardian's blogs. I haven't actually seen the Sky's coverage at all last Saturday, because I was out at something else for that. But I'll make a point of seeing this week's highlights. So yeah, I've been aware, but I haven't sat down. Some of my friends actually sit down, you know, of hours on end and watch what's happening. I don't think I've watched more than 5 minutes of anyone else on the plinth, and until last night, I hadn't actually been here to see it happening.
How would you summarise your experience since you first applied to this moment now?
I think it went into. I think it started off as very much an interior, a contemplative thing. It's very much restricted to me, and that's probably the way it's been up until the last 3 or 4 days. Because, you know, I've had to organise the coming down to London, friends coming down, built it into a birthday weekend and things like that. And it's accelerated to a point now where I'm afraid it'll all go past in a blur, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And before we finish, is there anything else you'd like to tell us or add that we might have covered?
I think this is possibly the most inclusive piece of art that I've ever been aware of, never mind being involved in. That I think it's... And in a lot of ways, it's throwing up a mirror to people to see what they want to see in it. Even I know what all art does that, but even more explicitly in this. And I can't help thinking there's an Oscar quote. There's a quote about Oscar Wilde. I think it was Mrs. Patrick Campbell probably, which said that Oscar's tragedy was that he wanted to reveal himself to the world, and instead the world revealed itself to him. Now, when I go up there. I think the world will reveal as much about itself as I do about me in that hour.